Hello, friends. We are in the middle of a series that I've called Questions. It's not a very good title, to be honest with you. On the website, I think it says Questions in the Bible. It's really Questions from the Bible. Regardless, I really should think of a better title. But honestly, it's because I'm a bit of a geek. Those of you that know me know that that's true. And it's true about me. And one of the ways that you know that is because I like questions. And by that I mean, I like questions that make me think differently, that make me reflect, that push me to understand something in a different way. Sometimes it's just even practical questions, things I didn't think about. I was in a meeting this past week, and somebody said to me, when's that due? And I thought, that's a good question. And then somebody else said, and who's responsible for it? And I thought, that's also a good question. But then there are other questions that are really big, like, is that the person I'm going to marry? Or, what do I do about this huge problem in my relationship? Or, I wonder how this is going to turn out. All of those are kind of internal reflection questions that we have, but the Bible asks us some pretty powerful questions. And I love looking at them because they really push me. So today we're going to be looking at a question that Jesus himself asked. And Jesus actually asked quite a few questions. Somebody sat down. Talk about geek, right? Somebody sat down. Martin Copenhaver, actually, among other people, sat down and discovered that Jesus asked at least 307 unique questions in Scripture. He wrote a book about it. That's geek to this, geek squared, right? And he actually discovered that Jesus only answered somewhere between 3 and 8 questions in the Bible, depending upon how you count it. You don't need to know all that. I'm just letting you know. To really begin to process the question that Jesus is asking today, I'd like to ask you a question. Have you ever gotten something in your eye? I'm assuming the answer is yes, being that you're human. And I say that because just about everybody I know, whether you're a contact wearer or just living life, gets something in your eye. And the eye is one of the most sensitive parts of the body. I mean, if you get something in your finger, yeah, it'll bother you. But if you get it in your eye, it'll drive you crazy. And no doubt because the eye is one of the most delicate parts of our body, right? It's amazing how, in some respects, unprotected it is, that it's just out in the open, and how important it is because it allows us to see the world and interact in its most basic ways. So if you've ever gotten something in your eye, you know that you almost immediately sense it. You can feel it. Our eye has that kind of responsiveness to it. And so some people are super cautious when they get something in their eye. They make sure that they go and they wash their hands and they pull open their eye in a mirror and look carefully. And then if they can find it, they try and get it out or ask somebody else to get it out. And then others of us are not that careful. Like if we feel something in our eye, we just go fishing for it. Because for me personally, when I get something in my eye, it drives me bananas. And so I like just instinctively go for it. And I end up chasing it all over the place. It seems to disappear all the time. And in the process, my eye starts watering. It gets red. It gets sore. And then sometimes I find something and other times I don't. And I go to my wife and hold my eye open. Do you see anything here? And all she says is, it looks red and sore to me, but I don't see anything else. And so I go through that entire process, and then even if I find something in my eye, it takes time for my eye to clear up. And that kind of hazy feeling that happens when you have that happen to you. Now, this experience is common to us as human beings, and it's probably the reason why Jesus picked it when he asked this question that we're about to look at today. Because the eye is so sensitive, and because the eye allows us to see and perceive the world, and because it's so important to our lives. And so we looked at a question last week in which David in Psalm 139 says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? And if we were to have dug a little bit deeper, you would have heard me say something like, why does David use the word flee? As in, run as fast as you can, away. And it's because he probably was thinking to himself that at one point in his life, he actually wanted to run away from God and he couldn't find a place to go. kind of like Jonah. But ultimately, there was a real sense of comfort in that notion that God is with us, right? Today's question is a little more pointed. It's a little more challenging. It asks us to be a little more open to something that's kind of sensitive, like our eye, right? And in that process, to understand what God's trying to say to us. So Jesus comes to his disciples and a crowd in the Sermon on the Mount. And here's what he says to us. He says, why? So this is a why question. Why do you worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a plank in your own? Why do you worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a plank in your own? Now, many of you have heard this question before. I took the time to actually print out many of the questions that Jesus asked just to read them alone without a context. And that's what I did with this one. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye when you have a plank in your own? Now, as I've been thinking about that question and what Jesus was getting at, the first thing I thought to myself was not why. In fact, I was like, Jesus, why didn't you ask the question how? My eye is so sensitive that the question I would be asking is, how in the world can you do that? Like, if you have something in your eye, aren't you focused on your own eye? Like, don't you need to get that taken care of? Like, it seems almost impossible to be able to have something in my eye and be able to focus on something in somebody else's eye. Unless they come to me, like my child comes to me and says, Dad, I got something in my eye. And I'm like, me too, but, you know, I'll take care of you first. Right? I can understand that. But how in the world can someone have something big in their eye? And then, I mean, Jesus even in the passage kind of indicates that they're ignoring it. They're not even noticing it. The Greek indicates that we have a plank in our eye and don't even notice it. How is that even possible? But Jesus asks a different question. He says, why? Why is it that you look for the speck in someone else's eye when you have a plank in your own? In other words, and here's the context for this. The context for this in Matthew chapter 7 is how we can get kind of judgy with others, how we can bring an attitude of judgment to others, how we can focus in on others' faults and failures and sins and weaknesses. And Jesus tells us very clearly, he tells us that we're not supposed to be judging. He says, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not judge and you will not be judged. For you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. And there's a little footnote in my Bible, which means go to the bottom of the page and read what another version of the text says. And the alternate reading is, for God will judge you as you judge others. So the question, the statement that precedes the question Jesus asked, says, the way that you judge others is how they'll judge you, and the way that you judge others is how God will judge you. And then he says, so why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye when you have a plank in your own? Why do you do that? And I don't know why I do that. Why is it that we treat other people that way? Why is it that we become judgmental and nasty and ugly? I mean, if we're to think about it or speculate, there are times when I'm tired and cranky. In COVID, we feel that way a lot. There's just kind of a weariness to this. And I've seen people that are a little more cranky than normal during this time. Maybe you have too, and judgy. Maybe it's also because we're defensive. Like someone comes and tells us we have something in our eye, and I'm like, oh yeah, I see something in yours too. Or The metaphor here is really that Jesus is saying, you have something wrong, something that you see wrong, that you're doing wrong, that you understand wrong, that you perceive wrong. There's something in your eye that needs fixed. And by the way, Jesus is pretty much saying everybody has this, because our friend has it in their eye and I have it in my own. But he's saying, why would your inclination be to fix your friend without even noticing what's happening in your own? It doesn't really even make sense. Now, I know that there are people who are very kind-hearted and very other-focused who really would like to help other people. And sometimes they spend so much time helping other people with the things that they need help with that they don't focus on their own lives. And that could be true for you. But I watch very often in our world right now where people are saying and doing things that are just ugly with seemingly no self-reflection on who they are or what they're doing with their own lives or how they're responding. And that's why for me, this question is such a powerful piece. I mean, I see people looking at others saying, I can't believe who you vote for, who you're going to vote for. I can't believe that you're not wearing a mask in public or that you're not doing this. I can't believe what's written on your hat. I can't believe who you are and what you represent. And Jesus is asking us to deeply self-reflect on why we would act that way toward others. In other words, if you really care about someone, if you really care about them, is that how you'd go about it? If you had something in your own eye, and you notice that someone has something in theirs, is the best way to go about that, are you really in the best condition to help somebody else? Which is really what Jesus is trying to ask us. When you get down to the bottom of the why question, he's saying, are you really in the best condition to help that other person? So why would you do it? And there are all kinds of motives and all kinds of reasons that we could give. But he emphasizes that even more when he says in the verses following, how can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye, when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite, first get rid of the log in your eye, and then you will see well enough to deal with a speck in your friend's eye. He's saying if you really want to help, if your motive is even pure, and sometimes it isn't, right? Sometimes somebody says or does something nasty. Sometimes we see something in someone else that reminds us of ourselves. And we don't like that either. And even if we're able to dig to the bottom of our motives and discover why we're doing it, Jesus is pushing us to say, you know, the healthiest place from which we could operate to help anyone truly is to make sure that we have taken care of some of the stuff in our own lives before we take care of others. And it seems today like there's a lot of angry people offering help. And it's hard for me to know where all that's coming from. And some people are just angry. They're not even trying to help. They're just angry. And some people really truly want to help. But I wonder sometimes if each one of us, as we help the other person, has really gotten a sense that we've worked through the stuff ourselves first. Here's why I'm saying this. I remember distinctly being in a counseling situation with a couple. This was a few years back. They came to me with trouble in their relationship. And as they're sitting there describing what's happening in their relationship, I begin to say to myself, I do that. I do that. I do that. And I'm thinking to myself, I need to go home and have a conversation with my wife, because maybe I'm driving her crazy the way it's driving his wife crazy. And we probably need to work. And I'm sitting here saying, I'm in the counselor's chair. I'm supposed to be helping these folks. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, I do that. I do that. And I had to have a moment of real humility. I had to have a moment of real reflection where I wasn't able to lean back and say, well, let me tell you. You know, there are moments when you just have to be honest and say, I wrestle with that too. And here's what I suspect, but I'm not sure that I can with surgical precision help you with this issue, because I'm not sure I've completely worked it out on my own. And I have to tell you, in this day and age, that attitude really shocks and amazes people. When we're willing to confess that we're not sure that we have it all together, it can be a humbling moment for ourselves, but it can be as helpful as anything for a person that really wants help. And so for us as human beings, Jesus is trying to say, would you be willing to be mindful of why you're even sticking your finger in somebody else's eye? I mean, that's really the illusion he's giving to us, to get it out of their eye, right? Because if you're just trying to be mean and you're sticking your finger in somebody else's eye because they've got something in it, well, that's not what he's about. And if you can't see clearly to help the other person out, that's not really what he's about either. And sometimes we are the people to help, and we are the people to point out, that's the issue right there, I can see it, and I can help you with it. Would you like some help? Because by the way, you really shouldn't just go up and stick your finger in somebody else's eye. But we do, especially when we've worked through the stuff ourselves, we have a sense of the mercy and the grace and the time that it takes to actually deal with that issue. And therefore, when we help, we can help with a sense of mercy and grace and kindness that it takes to allow a person to work through that issue. There's, in Jesus' day, a rabbinic saying that was popularly known. As a matter of fact, some people think that Jesus was touching on it in this passage to call it to mind of the people that were listening to him. And here's what the saying says. He who judges his neighbor favorably will be judged favorably by God. And they taught, the rabbis taught, that that was a key component to the way of living, and that the way that you best did that was to decide that you were going to think the best of the people around you. You were going to think the best of the people around you. And that would change the way in which you judge others. Now, one commentator says this: the Jews knew that the kindliness in judgment is nothing less than a sacred duty. That being kind in the way that you judge is nothing less than a sacred duty. A sacred duty. I believe that many of us have good intentions. We get swept up. We get swept up in the moment and what's happening in social media or on the news. We get swept up in our passion for the things that we care about. That happens to all of us. And in doing so, we can oftentimes fairly or unfairly judge other people. So Jesus is asking us to be honest when he says, why? Why are you doing this? What are your motives? Have you processed your own stuff? Have you understood what it takes to get to a healthy place? Have you seen that you need to be in partnership with a person who's helping you? Have you understood that I am there trying to guide the entire process? Because if you haven't, maybe the attitude or the actions that you're taking are less like Jesus than we think. And if we took the time to reflect upon that question that Jesus is asking, maybe we would actually be more effective helpers in this world, serving Christ in deeper and richer ways. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for teaching us. Thank you for asking us hard questions. Thank you for moving us to understand who you are and what you're trying to do in our world. We pray that you would help us to listen to the voice of your Spirit, that we would neither be people who try and poke others in the eye because we don't like what's in their eye or how they see the world or how they perceive things, nor would we be hypocritical, not having done the work that we need to do to really be clear-eyed and truly helpful to someone else. Enable us to be ready servants for the sake of your kingdom. We pray this in the name of Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.